There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 1207 FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Friday style. Glad you're here for the next couple hours. We're hanging out, live local talk. You're a big part of the show. Phone number, text line, 343-0106, 343-0106. If you're new to the area, that's 251, or from away from the area, 251-343-0106 works for our text line anytime, or right now, turn up your voice at 343-0106. We'll take your phone calls there as well. And the vote, Judiciary Committee to vote on the Kavanaugh nomination in less than 30 minutes. It's going to be 12:30 our time as the members of the Senate Judiciary Committee have done their speeches, said why they would or would not vote to confirm Brett Kavanaugh. And what a day it was yesterday as we played the audio of Dr. Ford and her testimony in front of that Senate subcommittee. And then after the show ended, it was the turn of Judge Brett Kavanaugh. I thought two very compelling long testimonies yesterday out of people involved here. And it has obviously not just resonated here. You know, we covered it. We had a lot of people that were tuned into it. How about this stat? Now, it's a developing story, but the initial headline here, cable news's biggest night, primetime estimates, Fox News 5.3 million, MSNBC 3.3 million, CNN 2.1 million over the Supreme Court battle. That is the viewership for what they call the overnights. So Nielsen that does TV ratings, also radio ratings, by the way. Nielsen that does our ratings, they're saying they're overnights. In other words, what happened yesterday, they can report. They don't do it day in and day out, but like for special things, if they see an anomaly, they'll give you what's called the overnights. We talk about it sometimes, big football games or something like that. The biggest news night. Now think about how big a news nights we've had in the past. And this is about the confirmation of a Supreme Court nominee, and that is a very big deal because we put ourselves in a position in this country where the legislative branch has forfeited a lot of the, at least social issue and a lot of other issues, decision-making from them in the legislative branch to the judicial branch. But also, you have a whole story that fits in with the narrative of the day, with the Me Too movement, and also just the rank partisanship of Washington. And was it on display? Wow. And I will get to Lindsey Graham, because I said this morning, now I can play the full 5 minutes from Lindsey Graham, which I'll do here in just a second. I'm not somebody that's been a... It is a rare, rare day that I'm cheering for South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham. It just... I'm not saying he's a bad person. A lot of people like to impugn character instead of thought. I kind of go the other way. But I'm quite often contrary to Lindsey Graham, because his form of conservatism is a lot different than probably where I see myself. But yesterday, I would have stood up and cheered Lindsey Graham. Stood up and cheered his speech. And we'll go ahead and roll this from yesterday, and then we'll get in because we are counting down to about 12:30 our time when we will hear what the vote is on. And it looks like, I mean, if the Republicans call the vote, if Mitch McConnell calls for the vote, there's a tell there. That means they most likely have the votes. But this is Lindsey Graham yesterday after all the rancor that had preceded him. He steps in here now, and his chance, instead of the prosecutor, this is Lindsey Graham stepping in that stead to make some commentary on what questions had been asked at that point and what had been done over the last couple months to Brett Kavanaugh.
I report
We start off with Grassley. I'm sorry.
I've asked for FBI reports in the past.
Wake up, Grassley.
38 years I've been in the Senate. Senator Graham.
Are you aware that at 9:23 on the night of July the 9th, the day you were nominated to the Supreme Court by President Trump, Senator Schumer said, 23 minutes after your nomination, I will oppose Judge Kavanaugh's nomination with everything I have. I have a bipartisan, and I hope a bipartisan majority will do the same. The stakes are simply too high for anything less. Well, if you weren't aware of it, you are now. Did you meet with Senator Dianne Feinstein on August 20th?
I did meet with Senator Feinstein.
Did you know that her staff had already recommended a lawyer to Dr. Ford?
I did not know that.
Did you know that her and her staff had this allegations for over 20 days?
I did not know that at the time.
If you wanted an FBI investigation, you could have come to us. What you want to do is destroy this guy's life, hold this seat open, and hope you win in 2020. You've said that, not me. You've got nothing to apologize for. When you see Sotomayor and Kagan, tell them that Lindsey said hello, because I voted for them. I would never do to them what you've done to this guy. This is the most unethical sham since I've been in politics. And if you really wanted to know the truth, you sure as hell wouldn't have done what you've done to this guy. Are you a gang rapist?
No.
I cannot imagine what you and your family have gone through. Boy, y'all want power. God, I hope you never get it. I hope the American people can see through this sham, that you knew about it and you held it. You had no intention of protecting Dr. Ford. None. She's as much of a victim as you are. God, I hate to say it, because these have been my friends. But let me tell you, when it comes to this, you're looking for a fair process? You came to the wrong town at the wrong time, my friend. Do you consider this a job interview?
The advice and consent role is like a job
interview. You consider that you've been through a job interview?
I've been through a process of advice and consent under the Constitution.
Would you say you've been through hell?
I've been through hell and then some.
This is not a job interview.
Yeah.
This is hell.
This
is going to destroy the ability of good people to come forward because of this crap. Your high school yearbook. You have interacted with professional women all your life, not one accusation. You're supposed to be Bill Cosby when you're a junior and senior in high school. And all of a sudden you got over it. It's been my understanding that if you drug women and rape them for 2 years in high school, you probably don't stop. Here's my understanding. If you lived a good life, people would recognize it, like the American Bar Association has the gold standard. His integrity is absolutely unquestioned. He is the very circumspect in his personal conduct, harbors no biases or prejudices. He's entirely ethical, is a really decent person. He is warm, friendly, unassuming. He's the nicest person. The ABA. The one thing I can tell you, you should be proud of, Ashley, you should be proud of this, that you raised a daughter who had the good character to pray for Dr. Ford. To my Republican colleagues, if you vote no, you're legitimizing the most despicable thing I have seen in my time in politics. You want this seat? I hope you never get it. I hope you're on the Supreme Court. That's exactly where you should be. And I hope that the American people will see through this charade. And I wish you well. And I intend to vote for you. And I hope everybody who's fair-minded will.
Yesterday, a man that I'm not always in agreement with, but well done, Senator Lindsey Graham. And then they called for the vote, which means maybe if there is the confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh today, he has none other than Senator Lindsey Graham to thank for that. I'll talk to you about this when we get back. 343-0106.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1220, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Friday. So just about 10 or so minutes away, at least as we're told. Now, things in Washington are sometimes on a different clock than the rest of us. No, not just Eastern time. They're on Washington time. But we are told that at 12:30 our time, Senate Subcommittee, Judiciary Committee will vote on the confirmation of Kavanaugh. Like I said, that they, most of the time, with a few exceptions as of late, don't call for a vote till they have the vote, right? It's when they call for the vote, that tells you they have gone, done the questions, done the research, and know that they have the votes to confirm. How narrow will it be? Obviously, it's more than 50, it's 51 or more, right? If they're calling for the vote. We'll see. 12:30, in 10 minutes, they're supposed to be voting. We'll let you know on this confirmation. And I think what's important about what Lindsey Graham said, it's not even specific to Kavanaugh. I think it's the bigger question of where we go next. And I know people think, quit talking about the Republic and all that. Well, you know, I still believe in things like that. And if this becomes, every time you move the what's acceptable line, and partisan politics, and this is on both sides, then that becomes the new normal, right? So then you move it further, and that becomes a new normal, and then you move it further. I mean, how far will we ever have, number one, like Lindsey Graham say, good people come and trying to take a job because of this? You know, if you believe that you have a good person that is falsely impugned, if you believe that Judge Brett Kavanaugh is a dirty, rotten scoundrel, well, that's a different thing. But if you think he's a good man that has been impugned, you'd say, wow, why would anybody else put themselves, subject themselves to that? And does that give us less as our government? Let's go to Ann in Baldwin County. First up, hey, Ann.
Yeah, I just want to make a couple of comments about it. I'm in my 60s, first of all. And I can kind of relate to some of the things that went on yesterday. It shouldn't have even taken place. I mean, they weren't interested in finding out the truth. Some of them weren't. All they wanted to do was tell her how courageous she was and how brave she was and how wonderful she is. I thought it was supposed to be, you know, seeking out what happened. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I just want the truth, you know, and I thought...
Well, you and I can get along. That's kind of where I mean, people don't believe it. They say, how can you do this? I just want the truth. Now, I'm a conservative guy, but I, you know, if they're... Right. I said that if they prove that Brett Kavanaugh is lying, because he's not saying that she interpreted it differently. He said, I was not there. I wasn't there. Yeah. This didn't happen. So if they can prove he was there, he was in the room with her, then he's painted to be a liar. Then I have some truth, and I take that into account. But right now, what they're doing, it seems to be a discussion of the nuance of something that he outright denies.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I mean, she, you know, I was listening to a lot. I've, you know, been trying to listen to as much as I could. And if you don't know, I mean, can't you say how you got there, how you got back, who was for sure in the room? It seems like there were, you know, at the party, it seemed like there was different stories there from the therapist, from, you know, I hate to be personal, but I had something bad happen to me, and I'm 60-something years old. I was 14. Wow. And I remember a whole lot about it, and this would have been a lot longer ago than what she had. I mean, I'm not saying that it couldn't have happened or anything. I'm certainly not. But I just, there's just so many things that you don't know. And, you know, why was she up there to begin with? Why would you pick a public venue? There's just so many different things wrong.
And I appreciate your call, and I appreciate the fair-minded way you're looking at this, even with what you've gone through. My question here, too, and there's a lot of people I understand, you don't care about it. It's all tribal with you. I get it. You can still be liberal, you can still be conservative and not be tribal. Meaning that the same, because I hear it in the discussion, people talking with me from both sides, the same benefit of the doubt that you give to the person who you think is a supporter of what your political bent is, do you not offer that across the aisle? I'm talking to some people just 30 minutes before the show started, some people that are very much, and very much anti-Trump, and they would say, why do you believe Brett Kavanaugh? Why do you believe? Well, at the same time saying, but you must believe Dr. Ford. I would like to know the truth. You know, you can say, we'll probably never get to the truth. Okay. Well, then you got to go to different points of view. You got to get pieces of evidence. You've got to get corroborating witnesses or those things. But the idea that we would offer benefit of the doubt to one and not the other is tough. But at the same time, I'm not talking about Ford. I'm not talking about Dr. Ford. I'm not talking about Brett Kavanaugh. I'm talking about the rest of them. And what Ann said is spot on. And what Lindsey Graham said, listen to me, having to cheer. What Lindsey Graham said yesterday is spot on. Number one, the possible ruin to the Republic ongoing. And number two, that these senators would sit there. They don't know either and give zero benefit of the doubt to the other side because, thank goodness, I mean, it's what we do every day on the show. We pull curtains back. We were transparent before it was the cool thing to do. But that Lindsey Graham said, y'all are doing this for one reason. You're trying to hold out to be able to get your person in for the Supreme Court. It, you know what have been refreshing is to have a Democrat member of Senate go, yeah, you're right. Things you'll never hear. All right, let's go to Dan in Mobile next. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Sean. Man, just real quick, and this might not be a popular opinion.
You're in the right place then.
Hey, you know, I think this is a little too little because kind of what you said, not generally liking Lindsey Graham, I'm right there with you. And for this, I think it's a little too little, a little too late in his case. Who are the Supreme Court judges that he said say hello to?
Yeah, so he Sotomayor, right?
Okay.
And
he voted
Kagan
for him, right?
And Kagan, yeah. He and so did many other okay. Republicans vote to confirm him. Yes,
sure. And you know why do they do that? Because
that's the way it's
they
done.
They made some deal with the other senators, the Democrat senators. Or the representatives, to scratch their back, and now that they're not turning around and returning the favor, he's sitting there and realizing, oh well, I'm getting the short end of this stick.
Okay, well let me.
And now he's coming out and making the statements he's making, and it's a shame that it's what it took was a man whose basically his entire life and reputation were threatened. In order for Lindsey Graham to wake up and finally go, oh, you know what? Y'all might not be y'all might be some shady characters.
Okay, well, I will say this:
the writing's been on the wall for 10 years.
Well, it's been for 20 years. It's been since Bork, but it's been since the Bork confirmations and that whole sideshow. But Dan, I think you're on, but maybe not right on the mark. Saying that, in my opinion, you may be right, I may be wrong, but in my opinion, the scratching the back is not this boss hog smoking the cigar kind of thing. It is the system of our republic where, in the confirmation, in other words, to the victor goes the spoils, whoever is in control of the executive branch, whichever party gets the chance to nominate their candidate for the Supreme Court.
They give them a nod.
And then they go before the Senate subcommittee and then approve over the full Senate. If the Senate can find something... The Senate should not oppose, those of the other party should not oppose the person up for the Supreme Court nominee because of their politics. They can oppose them because, you know what, they don't really have a law degree. That was a fake. Or, you know, we found out that they, they had these bad rulings or what. Yes, if you can find a way to say that they don't know how to do the job of being a judge, that's what that venue is for. Now, that's, you know, it is one, but... The whole story that's going on here around what he did or did not do or was or where he wasn't when he was in high school is not based on that. Those senators, those Democrat senators, don't care about that. They care about the fact that his politics are different from theirs, and they realize that this is a lifetime appointment for a young
exactly.
conservative judge. So the old policy, the scratching of the back was, you know what, to the winner goes the spoils. So if you bring me somebody, even though they disagree, you know, they're a liberal and you're a conservative senator, you may run them through a couple questions just to get some sound bites for yourself, but you're going to approve them unless you find out some reason, you know, they actually don't have a law degree or they're actually a citizen of, Uzbekistan. Unless you find that out, you vote to approve. Now, that all changed post-Bork, and we've had come and go as a tide that some aren't as bad as others. This has been the worst ever. And I think this is, not to stay in the land of hyperbole, but this is a threat to our ongoing republic. If this kind of behavior becomes common, I don't know where we go from here.
Exactly. And my point, really, I think, being is that what we need to do, or we need to wake up and realize as a society and as American citizens, is that these people that we're voting to represent us in Washington are not out to represent us. They're out to make money for themselves and fulfill their own agenda. If we get someone more like a, and I'm not saying he's a great example, but I like, you know, maybe Rand Paul, who actually practices what he preaches and follows through with the things he believes in, instead of people like Lindsey Graham, who talk out of both sides of their mouths and never get anything done, then we're not going to look at, we're not going to have these issues anymore. The line's going to be more clearly drawn. People are going to, you know, actually say what they mean and what they mean to do more clearly. And then you don't have this circus going on. And it's just frustrating, man. It's the same thing year after year. And it's just.
But I think it's gotten to. It's the worst yet. It's the worst yet, though. This, I'm seeing this is the worst yet. I mean,
for sure.
And so my problem is, if this is now the new benchmark, then where do we go from here? When it gets worse than this, what does that mean? So,
but it's like 10 years ago, we were saying this about something else.
Right.
Like, oh, this is the new benchmark.
Right.
It's only going to, now where's it go from here? It's always the worst it's ever been every 4 years or so.
But it's gotten so bad. Is it enough that it's going to cause some change? I don't know. I appreciate your call. Go to the news break. We'll get the vote here. A Senate Judiciary Committee is voting on the Kavanaugh Supreme Court nomination. This will move it out of the Judiciary Committee to the full Senate. The tell is, if they call for the vote, Republicans calling for the vote, feel like they have the votes to confirm. We'll get that audio when we get back. Y'all stay close.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1236 FM Talk 106.5, and awaiting that Senate Judiciary Committee vote. Like I told you, they said it was 1230, and I said they didn't translate that for Washington time, so it's now 1236, but they're getting ready to go, and we'll go to that audio in just a second. Also, heads up, tonight, Cottage Hill Package, combining two great events in one place. Cottage Hill Package tonight, it's your chance to come out to help Save a Stray Charity and have a wine tasting. It's the Save a Stray for wine, Save a Stray Charity Wine Tasting and Charity Auction, second year, $5 at the door, which all that money goes to Save a Stray. You enjoy samples of delicious wine, snack on finger foods, also get door prizes, a silent auction on wine and craft beer baskets, and special guest, the Save a Stray Dogs, will be there. This takes place at the back lounge at Cottage Hill Package, starting at 6 tonight, $5 to get in. Like I said, that's all going to Save a Stray of Mobile, and you'll get the auction, you'll get the wine tasting, you'll get the food, and you can always get more information about events like this or all the other great things they do when you go to cottagehillpackage.com. Check them out there, and on Facebook, just look for Cottage Hill Package so you never miss out on all the fun. And while you're there, remember, check out that huge selection of beer, wine, spirits, cigars. A huge selection right here for us in Mobile. Corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest, online, cottagehillpackage.com. All right, we grab a couple calls here, and I want to get to my buddy Cameron Smith, too. Let's go here, or do we have the... And we will cut away at any second here that we're going to go to the audio of the vote as soon as they green light that is happening. Let me take a quick one from John in Spanish Fort. We're going to get to Cameron in just a second. John, go ahead.
Hey, Sean, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man.
Progressive voice in Spanish Fort. Hope you're having a great day.
I am, man.
Both sides have retreated to their corners, so I'm actually not going to ask about the confirmation process and so forth, but I just want to point out or ask your opinion of something. If tribalism is not evident in this, I wish people would watch the feeds of the senators when the cameras are not on. They're congenial. I know it's I don't want to say it's a club. It's an established function of our government. But when the cameras turn on, people go to their sides,
mm-hmm.
and it's all a show at times. Do you agree?
How many times have you heard me refer to the Kabuki Theater of Washington? Right, until yesterday, and so it's always good that it's somebody. It wouldn't be nearly as exciting if you heard me saying how great the speech from Rand Paul was yesterday, because people expect that out of me. But Lindsey Graham is not exactly a man I agree with a whole bunch of times, most often on foreign policy. But I thought what he said yesterday needed saying. It is the truth, right? This is done for political reasons. All of a sudden, this interest in a woman is because of what it could mean politically. That this is and because we have moved so much of what goes on in this country from the legislative branch to
the top of the judicial, this is a hill to die on. It is a hill to die on at this point for Democrats. But it sets a new low that will be followed by both parties.
I agree. I crave the days of the 60s and 70s when jurists were actually looked for and not faces of a movement. And thank you for taking my call.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it. Here's the problem. Because, once again, and we'll see if my friend Cameron will tell me I'm all wet on this or if I'm right, because we've moved beyond doing our legislating in the legislative branch and doing it in the judicial, this is what we get. They are still... Cameron, am I right on that or am I wrong on that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously this is high stakes. This is a fifth vote for conservatives on the Supreme Court, and that's a big deal. And so, I'll tell you what, Democrats know that, Republicans know that. There's a lot at stake riding on this, and sure, it makes for high theater and high drama, but this could realign the legal landscape of the United States. I mean, this is not a minor deal here, and so I understand why Democrats are fighting hard.
Yeah, give you all a little background here. Not only Cameron Smith of AL.com and the R Street Institute, a man, an attorney who has worked in Washington, so you got some firsthand experience with this. I get it, but is there anything that's... Is there any punch that's not okay? You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you're in the scrap here, if you're fighting with your friends or family, God forbid, you know, you're on a bad episode of Cops and you're fighting with your friends or family, it seems like some punches, some things are off limits. Some things are not okay.
Yeah, and I've got a column coming out on this because I'm actually worried about it. Because the issue is not how hard you punch each other. It's what you do after the fact. It's, hey, are we still Americans? Like, we really disagreed. We really went hard after each other. But, yeah, we still believe in this American ideal together. And if that goes away and we just wound each other and then get back up and wound each other more, that's what tears a country apart. And I'm a little bit worried that, like, I don't see as much reconciliation after the fact. I don't see as much, hey, that was a hard-fought battle, but, you know, do we have a process and this is how we decide it? I think we need to get back to that. And frankly, I don't expect people to sell out their principles, but treat other people well, even when you have to battle them on big votes like this.
Well, okay, we know it's a blood sport. We know the bloodiest of the blood sport arenas is Washington, But you could fight as hard as you want, as rough as you want. But now we have people other than just senators, other than just House reps in the mix. We have, you know, it depends on everybody picking sides. I'm on the weird side of trying to find out what happened. But whatever your side is, you there's somebody being sacrificed, right? Either somebody, there's a bad guy and a good, there's a bad person and a good person, and there's no in between.
We're all true believers. We all believe that we're carrying on America's legacy and the other guy's trying to destroy it. We need to get over that. Like what we're participating in is America's legacy. It's this, we have this back and forth, we're passionate about it, and in the end we don't kill each other. That's our legacy. That's the one we need to protect. And so this notion that we villainize the other side, we play these smear games, the way I look at it is character. I mean, at the end of the day, if you're saying something that's not true, or you're, you know, standing up there screaming and you're telling a lie, that's on you. And for people to evaluate these things and take a step back and say, hey, look, what I see here is an allegation. I see somebody vehemently denying that allegation. I've got to make a judgment call here. And then frankly saying, I got to respect the judgment call versus this weird notion that we just rush to judgment and say, this guy, because of an accusation, is probably more than likely he did something horrible. Or this guy's done nothing wrong and everyone else is liar. I think we have to just step back and say, this is a judgment call. The senators heard what they heard. Now they got to make a vote. My prediction is 11-10.
It's 11-10. No, 11-10.
Yeah, on the judiciary. I mean,
On the judiciary. Yeah, not in the entire. Okay,
yeah. Vote here in the judiciary committee.
Yeah, okay, because I was thinking on to tomorrow and you know, tomorrow's shirts and helmets practice, and then Monday's real vote. I mean, the fact they called for the vote, they've got the votes. Mitch has got the votes. I guess it's going to be 51-49 on the full Senate?
Yeah, we can see 51-49 or 50-50 with the Pence tiebreaker. I mean, I'll put it this way. They've whipped this. It would be a truly shocking thing for them to put up this vote and have the vote and it fail. That means that somebody told them that they were a yes on Kavanaugh and changed their mind at the last minute. It certainly could happen with a vote this close, but if I had to guess right now, I would say that Kavanaugh is on the path for confirmation.
All right. And then and we'll get to what's next in a second. But I want to go back and circle back to something as they still await. But remember, y'all, when I told you it was 12:30, they said that would be the vote. It's now 12:44, Washington time. So John mentioned something earlier, call right before you came on. And he said that people would, when the cameras went off, the members of the Senate would go back to being congenial, which I think there was some break in that yesterday with Lindsey Graham, and I celebrated that. But at the same time, they may do that. They may be like the coyote and the sheepdog, right? In the old Warner Brothers cartoons, it would battle it out all day, and then the coyote and I think it was Sam, the sheepdog, would go have a beer, back to the Ronald Reagan, Tip O'Neill days. But if they understand that it's you know, they're fighting in the ring, they're athletes, and then they get out and they're going to be congenial with each other, do you think many of the American populace haven't gotten that message? While the those will use that for influence, whether they're in the House, the Senate, they're in the executive branch, but the citizens don't see that thing that when the cameras go off. So the citizens are actually full time at war with each other, and actually the parties in Washington aren't.
I think that that's a fair assessment. Our street has done congressional exit interviews. We did Jimmy Duncan from Tennessee, who's been there for three decades, talking about his experience. We had Dennis Ross from Florida and Brian Costello. We've talked to these folks, and we hear that narrative a lot, that, hey, we get along personally. We have to try to do that because we're busy and we have to go out of our way. But there is an element of that that people don't see. But at the same time, Representative Costello pointed out that the cable news folks have no incentive to spend anything other than the citizenry's at war, because that makes people watch. Nobody watches if they were like, actually, things were basically okay this week. It needs to be like somebody's bleeding, somebody's hating someone, and that creates a lot of enmity from the average Joe. And the problem is that's bleeding back into our representation, where folks don't feel like they can compromise. They don't feel like they can kind of work out a deal, because they're going to get hammered back home by somebody who says, you're not fighting the enemy well enough.
They're being skewered with the spear that they sharpened then. I mean, that they, in the rhetoric that is when the cameras are on, the rhetoric when the mics are on, that sets a tone that they realize is just within the ring. American people take it seriously full time. I mean, I look at the conversations that go on and how enraged and ready to go to arms people are on both sides here. And so therefore they go to the polls and vote for people that represent that sliver, that version of what they saw when the cameras were on. And then those people go up and they continue the process, and it probably ramps up, and maybe that's why we are more partisan than ever.
Well, you ask ourselves, how do people feel in the months and days leading up to the Civil War? I mean, at what point did they decide that these systems that we have in place to sort out our differences, where we legitimately don't disagree, that those systems are no longer adequate and we need to take up arms? And I don't think we're there, thankfully. But do I think we can get there? Do I think if we let these wounds fester, if folks feel like they're perpetual losers or perpetual winners in this political dynamic, that's where we get to a situation where our republic's under real attack, and I think we need to be real circumspect about that. Don't sacrifice your principles. You don't have to sort of play patty cake in politics, but you need to treat people with respect. You need to realize they're not your enemy, they're your neighbor, whether you like to think of it that way or not.
All right, coming right back, more with Cameron Smith, and hopefully there's members of the Senate Judiciary standing near their chairs, but maybe they're going to assemble. As soon as they go to take that voice vote, we will go to that audio feed from Washington. Coming right back. Okay, let's go straight to the feed. Now Chuck Grassley finally got quiet. Chuck? Chuck Grassley.
One, two, three.
Chuck Grassley is counting the members of the Senate Judiciary Committee. He is counting them out loud. And he's got to use the other hand now. Okay, he's seeing if everybody's there. They actually sat down, is why. And Cameron, that's why I'm doing what I did. They actually sat down like they're going to vote here. That's why we dumped out of the news break here. And now Chuck Grassley is looking around. Okay, here we go. Oh, there's...
Can I ask what you see this week for a minute?
Oh, wow. That is that would be Jeff Flake just coming in asking to speak to members of the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Personal privilege. I'm going to call on Senator Flake to speak. Normally, we would start the vote right now, but as a point of personal privilege, I would call on Senator Flake.
Oh, thank you. I have been speaking with a number of people on the other side. We've had conversations ongoing for a while with regard to making sure that we do due diligence here. And I think it would be proper to delay the floor vote for up to but not more than 1 week in order to let the FBI continue to do an investigation limited in time and scope to the current allegations that are there, and limit in time to no more than 1 week. And I will vote to advance the bill to the floor with that understanding. And I've spoken to a few other members who on my side of the aisle that may be supportive as well. But that's my position. I think that that we ought to do what we can to make sure that that we do all due diligence with a nomination this important. And I want to say that this committee has acted properly, and the chairman has bent over backwards to do investigations from this committee and to delay this vote in this committee for a week so that that Ms. Ford, Dr. Ford, could be heard, and she was yesterday. So that's with that agreement, I will vote to advance the bill to the floor.
Clerk will call the roll.
Just 1 second. Can Diane speak?
Could we have a description of...
Yeah, what are we voting on? Let's see.
We are voting on the motion to report the nomination to the floor. The clerk will call the roll.
Wait, that's not my understanding of what... Mr. Chairman, let the senator explain it.
The chairman's...
That is my understanding, and if the Democrats could speak to it, if Chris or you, as we talked about before, that the Democrats would accept and endorse a 1 week FBI investigation limited in time and scope.
Well, that is correct.
Since you're the deciding vote here, we'll vote, and then if there's any sort of discussion, we'll go do that after the vote. Call the roll.
Mr. Hatch.
Aye.
Mr. Graham.
Aye.
Mr. Cornyn.
Aye.
Mr. Lee.
Aye.
Mr. Cruz.
Aye.
Mr. Sad.
Aye.
Mr. Flake.
Aye.
Mr. Tillis.
Aye.
Mr. Kennedy.
This is on the nominee.
Mrs. Feinstein.
Yeah.
On the nominee, no.
Mr. Leahy.
On the nominee, no.
Mr. Durbin.
No.
Mr. Whitehouse.
No.
Ms. Klobuchar.
No.
Mr. Coon.
On the nominee, no.
Mr. Blumenthal.
No.
Ms. Hirono.
No.
Mr. Hooker?
No.
Ms. Harris?
No.
Mr. Chairman?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, the votes are 11 yays, 10 nays.
The nominee will be reported to the floor.
Mr. Chairman, may I be recognized?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to thank my friend and colleague, Senator Flake, and thank you for giving us the time today to have a conversation. A number of my colleagues have asked for a one-week delay in order that there might be an FBI investigation of what allegations are currently before this committee. I respect Senator Flake's view that, in his opinion, it was best to respect your having given Dr. Ford the time to be heard yesterday and advance the nominee to the floor. But it is my hope that we could work together on a bipartisan basis to diligently pursue an FBI investigation within the next week, not for the purpose of delay, but for the purpose of investigating further either allegations made by Dr. Ford or others, with a goal towards demonstrating a bipartisan commitment to diligently investigating these allegations. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Senator Flake.
Senator Feinstein.
Thank you. I would support that motion. I think we do need this investigation. As a matter of fact, I sort of misunderstood, Senator Flake, what you were doing. I thought it included a one-week investigation. So I would like to support the motion for that investigation.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman.
We'll take turns here. Senator.
I love this committee, but we're not the majority leader. Senator Flake has made clear what it would take him to be comfortable on a final passage vote. But it doesn't matter what we say here. This will be up to Senator Schumer and Senator McConnell. So
it is completely up to them.
Yeah, and I think Jeff has made himself very clear, and
Senator,
let's move.
I'll be there. Senator Leahy. Senator Leahy.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I want to make sure, because this is somewhat unprecedented.
All right, I'll tell you what, because she's going to be continuing to double down or grandstand on this, and I'm lucky enough to have somebody who has worked on that committee in Washington. Cameron Smith still on with us. So that was different, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I think that what's interesting there is Flake saying, I'm comfortable moving this forward, but I want a limited one-week deep dive into what's there right now, whether there's anything that merits further investigation that is really sort of raising, hey, this is the allegation. Here's the corroboration. Here's what we do. We saw that senators heard from, I believe, the woman asking some of the questions of Dr. Ford, saying that these allegations would not lead to a prosecution, that these allegations, you know, were not sufficiently corroborated. There wasn't enough there for a prosecutor to really move that. I think this is a fair way for them to say, hey, there's a limited time and scope here. This isn't a dilatory tactic. The FBI can take a look, see if there's a there beyond what we've already heard, and we have a week. And then at the end of that week, we're going to have a vote, and senators at that point, you know, have to decide. And I think the fact that Democrats seem to be amicable to that,
they're not amicable. They're not amicable in a way, because, I mean, let's point out that the 10 nays had to say nay, even though the vote was on whether to let the FBI investigation that they wanted so badly to happen, they had to say no to the candidate. It wasn't a vote on confirming, but they had to act like it was a vote on confirming. That is where we are. That's what you were just talking about. That is the place where we find ourselves.
Yeah, but I read it a little bit different. I think what they were saying is there were two things were moving at once. One, there was a nominee, and two, there was sort of a deal to do this investigation over the course of the week. And they were saying, no, we don't want to report out the nominee. We oppose the nominee, but hey, we'd love to see the investigation over a week. And yeah, I mean, look, I told you before the call, before we went on air, this is going to be 11 to 10. That's how that vote's going to be.
You got it right.
And we kind of know that. We know that the Senate floor vote, unless something new comes out over the next week, is going to be 50-50 with a Pence tiebreaker, or 51-49, somewhere in that ballpark. It's going to be a close vote, probably partisan. We'll see if some of the centrist Democrats come on over. They might if they see that confirmation is going to happen. Bottom line is, I understand how this process is tough. I understand why Democrats do not like it. That shoe's been on the other foot before, where with the Affordable Care Act and some of these other things that Republicans didn't like. I was there on the Hill when that happened. We didn't have a choice in the matter.
Okay, and we're out of time for this hour, but I mean, just there's a lot to be asked here going forward. Did it mean that they didn't have the votes, or is it really just trying to get to the bottom of it? All right, Cameron, thank you for your time, man. I appreciate it. I have a feeling on Monday we're going to talk about this a whole bunch more.
Yes, sir.
All right, Cameron Smith, R Street Institute and AL.com, with some insight here on what's going on in Washington. We'll go to national news right now, and then we'll come back and we'll get audio from what's happening right now.